Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
How nice would it be to just go abracadabra with a wand and your house to all be clean and organised? There you go. That's my link. Leslie Spellman is joining us now from the Declutter Hub to talk about getting your home prepared for a big change. So whether it's coming home from hospital, welcoming a new baby, adjusting to retirement, or even moving home, preparation is everything. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Hannah. I feel like I need to come clean about something now that you've just said that about abracadabra. Because my other business, and the Declutter Hub is my online business with Ingrid, but my other business is called the Clutter Fairy, and we indeed do wave magic wands. And so you're absolutely right. So, if only we could all wave a magic wand, right? That would be so cool.
Yes, absolutely. So this topic, this subject was inspired by an article that you wrote or on an email talking about your father who came home after being in the hospital with a broken pelvis. How is he, first of all?
He's doing really well. He should have, when he first went into hospital, so he's 84, to put it into context, just fell over as you do. They thought he'd broken his hip. He'd actually broken his pelvis. And a lot of people don't know, but they don't treat a broken pelvis. They just wait for it to kind of repair itself, and most particularly in older people. So they thought he would be in hospital for 8 weeks, but he did remarkably well. So he came home early, which is why I was scrambling to try and get things done, and why while I was busily working on the declutter, writing emails to try and inspire people, I got a taste of my own medicine in terms of trying to organize things for a transition.
Oh, so I was really inspired by your email. I thought it was, I think it was amazing how much of an effort you were making, making sure everything was not only nice and clean, but organized for him coming home. I feel like you went above and beyond. So well done for doing that for your dad. I think that's lovely.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm an only child, so it's just me, really, doing everything. So, no, I just wanted to make it nice for him. And I think it's important, isn't it? And safety comes first, right? So he needed to be safe when he got home. His flat is actually in a retirement complex, and so it's brilliant anyway. But I just needed to make sure that everything was as it was. And, you know, because I've been in the business for a while, I've been doing it for lots of other people, and I had to do it for myself. So
yeah. And you were amazed how long everything took. You were thinking initially, oh, I'll just do a bit of this, bit of that. And you were sort of not overwhelmed, but realize how much there was to do and how long everything takes.
Yeah, I think because it's not something, my dad's very independent, so he just kind of gets on with things himself. But I think what added to it, my dad's been a heavy smoker for 60, 70 years, and he wasn't going to give up. And so I had to throw that into the mix as well. So a lot of it was cleaning, and he was trying desperately to give up smoking. So I wanted to make sure it was kind of fresher for him when he came home. And fingers crossed, he's 7 weeks in, so that's amazing as well, without a cigarette. But yeah, that added to, you know, it wasn't just a little bit of decluttering, it was also quite deep cleaning and things like that as well. So yeah, there was a lot to do.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense with the smoking side of things, the cleaning. If you're smoking in the house, that can get everywhere, can't it?
Exactly. But, you know, he actually doesn't have a lot of stuff. So in terms of clutter, he doesn't really bother too much about stuff, which made things a little bit easier. But nevertheless, I really had to look at things and look at everything with a fresh perspective. And I think that's what you need to do when you're going through any transition. So that was me trying to sort of take control for my dad, really, because he needed that. But I think we go through so many transitions in life. And the things that Ingrid and I see when we're working in the Declutter Hub is that people typically leave it too late. You know, it's interesting because I've just had a call this afternoon from a lady who is going through a terrible time with a divorce, and basically she's got a court order to sell her house, and they've given her 18 days to get a house on the market.
She's
in a complete and utter panic because we, you know, a lot of times when we're going through these transitions, we're not in the best frame of mind as well. You know, we're going through other things emotionally. So the practical side of things are not always the first thing on our mind. So, but we do need to start early. That's the key to it. I didn't have time because it was a very last minute scramble for my dad. And this lady also is like, oh, what do I do? So trying to help her as well when you're in a state of turmoil anyway.
Yeah, it's difficult. It adds all the extra pressure, doesn't it? I suppose it's in your situation, it wasn't possible because it was last minute. But for a lot of people, it's the idea of trying to be on top of all these things all the time. So if something does crop up, like what's happened to this lady, and also bringing a new baby into the home, obviously, you know, you have at least 9 months to prepare that, because you, so you know that is coming. But it's trying to get on top of things so you're always a bit organized, at least. So if last minute things happen, it's not a massive panic, it's not a massive big deal, because you're already quite organized in your home.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it is understanding that these things, you know, for my dad, for this lady, for people having a baby, downsizing, retiring, all of these things, they all come with a huge amount of emotion. And sometimes we really underestimate that. So we set out with the best of intentions to do these things, but then it's a big roller coaster of emotions. And so we have to do the practical things alongside the emotional side of things. And that's where people come unstuck. And that's where you need to pace yourself a little bit. And so I think the earlier that you can start, you allow yourself a little bit of space within that, to then, if you are having a day where you're struggling a little bit, or where your emotions get the better of you, then you've got a little bit of time to go, right, today I'm going to take a day off, and then we go again tomorrow. So I think starting early allows space for the ebbs and flows of an emotional journey. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah. And if you're having an emotional time, try not to do the bits that are going to make you more emotional. You know what I mean? If it don't get out all the photographs and all that kind of thing, you know, try and just do your electrical equipment or things like that. You know, you can pick and choose the different things that you're decluttering depending on how you're feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in any decluttering project, it's really important to understand that there are some things that are easier than others emotionally. So, you know, we are real advocates for starting in easier places and building up what we call your decluttering muscle to get to the more difficult spaces later, once you've kind of practiced in easier rooms like a kitchen. And a lot of people go, wow, you're saying a kitchen is easy. We're not saying any of this is easy. But in a kitchen, for example, the decisions are a little bit more practical generally. There are emotions in a kitchen. Of course, we've got aspirational buying, all of those things, but generally in a kitchen, things are simpler decisions, and of course, logistically, we can split things down because everything's already kind of sectioned out into areas and drawers and cupboards and things like that. So, it definitely pays to start in easier rooms, and obviously, in places like kitchens and bathrooms, there's a lot of scope for us to let things go in there as well. Whereas, when it comes down to sentimental items, when it comes down to photographs, we're not actually creating that much space, you know, from a volume perspective, really. So, really, really important to deal with the least emotional stuff first. But it's difficult because our heads, or when we think of decluttering and a decluttering project, our mind takes us to the difficult places. It takes us to the photos. It takes us to the sentimental, to the books, to the CDs, if that's what we love. You know, all of those things that we love, that's what we think about because that's the thing that we don't want to do. And so our mind's kind of playing tricks on us a little bit, but we need to have a plan and work systematically through it.
Yeah. I can't believe how much my mind has changed about decluttering since I first did the decluttering challenge with you guys, which would have been back in, I think it was 2020. I think it was.
During
the pandemic. And just before that, it was just not something that was on my radar. I wasn't like the cleanest organized person in the world. And suddenly, having done it that one time, it's now something that's in my head. It's something that I think about and enjoy doing on a, I don't want to say regular basis, but fairly regular basis, a few times a year at least. I'll go through certain drawers, certain cupboards. You know, if you've accumulated a few more mugs or whatever, go through the mug cupboard and think, okay, I haven't got quite enough room for all of this. Which ones are broken? Which ones I don't really like? And just generally thinking about sorting out a cupboard is something that I actually really enjoy now.
Good. I'm glad that we could help you with that, Hannah. That's good. We did our job well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes they're kind of the light bulbs go on because you always find it such a chore. I mean, Ingrid and I obviously love decluttering, but, you know, a lot of people really don't. But if we can get you to a place where you actually quite enjoy it, then that's a good thing. And so, but it takes a while for some people, for people that are daunted, for people that are overwhelmed, it can take a little while to get there. And then, and it is understanding that our emotions are driving our clutter. You know, we're keeping all these things for a reason and we don't want them wrestled out of our hands. And it's the same when you're, the problem is for transitions as well. We're forced into making decisions. And so the decisions that I needed to make my dad, you know, he had to have those things happen. The decisions that this lady's making, she has to do that because she's got to move house. Even with something as beautiful as a new baby coming into the home, all of a sudden you've got to create a space for another person. And so you need to, you know, give up some of your space that you've had for X number of years to allow for that. So, you know, it's kind of, these are decisions that you don't necessarily want to make, but you're forced into making through change, you know, and that's a good thing because it allows us to look at things with a fresh pair of eyes. But so it's, transitions are difficult sometimes as well, because there's other things that come into play. It's not just about what doesn't serve me anymore. It's about, mm. I have to create some space for new things.
Yeah. I do find it interesting thinking about how there's so much stuff that we have in our house that we don't use. Using mugs as an example, if we've got two cupboards full of mugs, but there's like one or two favourites that we prefer to use. If we're only using, I don't know, between a couple, six mugs, let's say, and you've got 38 mugs, then you could easily be hopefully quite sensible about the situation and realise that if you've got mugs that you haven't used from one year to the next, what's the point of keeping it? The same with clothes, whether it's, and again, it can, I remember talking to Ingrid about the way things are stored, how your t-shirts, for example, if you've got a drawer full of t-shirts, if they're all piled on top of another, it's likely that you're only going to be wearing the t-shirts that are the top two or three, and the ones down the bottom you never see, you never look at. But if they're stored where they're kind of folded up alongside one another so you can see them all, yeah, you're more likely to wear them all. And if you're not, then again, after a year, how often, however you like to decide, you don't really need to keep them.
Exactly. We have what we call our go-to clothes. And so we've all got them. We've all got our favourites that we wear on repeat. And we like, because we feel comfortable in them, we buy them again. So it might be a pair of, you know, kind of, I don't know, skinny jeans or barrel leg jeans or whatever that is, or it might be a little black dress that we feel good in, and we buy more of those things because we know that they make us feel good. And so, but there's a hierarchy within those, all of those black jeans or little black dresses, because we've still got our favorites, right? And so we never, you know, we wear number one and number two, as you said, but we never quite get to number seven and number eight, but we keep them because we kind of like them. So our mind is kind of always playing tricks on us a little bit, and it would be great if we could all be really sensible and rational about these things, but you know, life's not like that, is it? We've all got things in our home that we don't need. I've got them, Ingrid's got them, but it's about making sure that that's not detracting from the life that you want to lead. It's about making sure that those extra clothes are not stopping you from what you want to do. It's about making sure that if you've got a new baby coming home, that they're not coming into your overspill wardrobe, you know, so that you can have a beautiful place for a new baby, or that my dad feels safe. And so, you know, it's important to look at what that presents, what having less clutter presents to you in your life as it stands today.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much of a difference it can make to people. Once they have a decluttered, organized home, it becomes a really lovely place to be. I love the program, you probably do too, Sort Your Life Out, that Stacey Solomon does. I just think it's just magical. I think literally transforming these people's lives, often families, and the kids have got nowhere to play, the father's got nowhere to work, and it's all just a complete mess. And suddenly they have these, well, not suddenly, I know it takes a massive amount of time, but they have these areas where they can sit and watch a film together. And it literally transforms people's lives if you can set aside some time and declutter your home, or get people like you in to help them do it.
You know, it's so interesting, really, because, you know, Ingrid and I have been in this business for 16 years each. And, you know, we're seeing this every day, you know, these transformations, and, you know, trying to go on and say, oh, if only you could just declutter some more stuff, then, you know, you would have this beautiful life. And it's just the possibility that it creates for a lot of people. And we love the transformations. We love it, you know, whether that's when we work one-to-one in people's houses and when we don't go into warehouses like Stacey, and we have done it a couple of times. But generally, we're more kind of in the trenches doing it in people's houses. But I think, you know, even online, you know, we work online with people all over the world, and it's so lovely to see people gradually change. And honestly, that is why we do what we do. You know, it's about the emotional connection and the mind, the way that your mind changes and the way that the kind of veil lifts a little bit is so nice, honestly. And the possibilities that having less clutter creates, because we don't want people to be a slave to their home and every day be thinking, oh, got to go home and do this chore and that chore and that still needs doing and this needs doing, or battling through things to be able to cook a meal or to decide on what you want to wear that day. You know, having less definitely creates a much simpler life. And, you know, once people kind of see the light, it's just so lovely. And we're lucky to be very privileged, in fact, to be a part of that.
Yeah, must be so nice. People must get really emotional. They obviously do in that TV programme I was talking about, and you obviously see it on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's lovely. What's not to like? There's no downside, right? So as long as you have a controlled decluttering journey where you feel in control of decisions that you're making, and there are people around who will go, oh, it's a nightmare, somebody got rid of my stuff for me. You know, we've all seen those horror stories. But if you can go slowly but surely through your decluttering where you feel ready for the decisions that you're making, there is no downside. You're going to save money. You're going to have that life-changing things. You're going to be able to be creative. So many people don't do their hobbies because they've got clutter in the rooms that they want to do them. And so there's so many upsides. It improves relationships. We've not got that tension at home. And so there's no downside at all. So it's a very positive thing to do. But it's also, for a lot of people, a very daunting thing to do. And we kind of accept that, which is why we have our podcast and we try and encourage people to do it in a kind of systematic way.
Mm. Yeah, but a lot of people just get stuck in that zone of there's obviously fear connected to it, I guess, of getting rid of stuff. The idea of, oh, no, I might need this, or what if I want this one day? The worry that I mustn't get rid of it in case. You obviously must come across that a lot. Where does that come from, do you think?
Oh, where do I get started on that, Hannah? There's so many things. You know, a lot of it is things that have happened in the past. We've got people, you know, yes, people have got trauma as well. So a lot of it stems from childhood trauma. A lot of it stems from poverty. We've got all that kind of stuff where all of a sudden you've got a little bit of money, you know, the kind of post-war generation as well. People have got a little bit of money and then think that they might go back because they remember, right? And so there's a little bit of that. People have guilt by, you know, things that people have been given, and they feel guilty about wastage. We've got the environment coming into play. People are like, I can't just throw things away, that's wasteful. So keep it. I mean, I could go on forever in terms of the emotions that drive the stuff that we collect, but 9 times out of 10 it is an emotional driver that's making us keep something. If you feel like, I don't know why I can't get rid of that thing, it is an emotion that's driving that. It's not a straightforward decision. And we have to work out what that driver is. And that's what we do at the Declutter Hub, really, is we're in emotions first, stuff second approach, which is, let's not worry about the stuff right now. Let's worry about, why are you keeping it? Because then you can learn from the decisions that you make. And then next time, you can go, I see what that is. That's me being guilty because my daughter bought me that and I don't want to let it go or whatever. And so you go, you know, is this serving me right? And then you can make a balanced judgment on it. So it really is all about the emotions. But, you know, it's easier said than done. But sometimes you just need somebody to explain those emotions and put them in front of you. Because a lot of times people have never even thought about it in that way, Hannah. People just think, have to declutter stuff and don't go any further than that, which is completely understandable. You know, the good thing about Stacey's program is that she does go into the emotions with the family a little bit. And so we do get an emotional response. We do get to understand that this difficult for some people, because there are so many people out there who don't have a problem at all. They're like, just throw it away. It's like, why are you keeping all this stuff? You know what I mean? And don't understand it because they've not gone through the same emotions. And so, you know, it's nice that it's framed by Stacey and her team in that emotional way, because we've had loads of programs in the past that are absolutely not. framed like that, which can be quite damaging to people, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I bet you both feel like therapists sometimes. You're taking people through therapy in a way, I expect, when people...
Yeah, definitely.
Realise that it's connected to something, and then they realise that it is. I expect people are bursting into tears all the time.
I know, it's been said, it's definitely been said it's the cheapest therapy session that they've ever had. I mean, you know, obviously I have no professional qualifications whatsoever, but sometimes I really think that jump into that role. But yeah, no, you just need someone to understand and be empathetic and not to judge you. You know, I think people who have lived with clutter all their lives, or whether, if it's, there's been a sudden sort of a surge of clutter, feel really judged and ashamed because people are always talking about it, and then they start to kind of retract a little bit. And so it's nice to have somebody who kind of understands it and says, it's okay, you can get through this and sort it out.
Yeah. Well, I think it's brilliant what you both do. I really do. Remind us that I know you've got a book out. What's the title of the book?
Yeah, we've got a book called Reset Your Home, Unpack Your Emotions and Your Clutter Step by Step. And obviously we've got the podcast that I mentioned, which is the Declutter Hub podcast, which we've got. We've been going for years, 8 years now we've done the podcast. There's nothing in that's not in that podcast, Hannah. It's all being discussed. If you've got a clutter problem, we've covered it on that podcast.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, Leslie Spellman from the Declutter Hub, thank you so much for joining us. Always great to chat with you. Love to Ingrid.
Oh, thanks, Hannah.
Take care. Bye-bye.